Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Michigan Golf Podcast. Garrett Smith back with you guys, and we're gonna keep the good times rolling. I think I've already said that once, but the course reviews have been kind of going swimmingly lately. So I've gotten out and played a couple of golf courses late season here that I hadn't had the chance or taken the opportunity to play peak season, but thankfully we've had a couple of decent days. And this past weekend I got out and played Thornapple Point over there just east of Grand Rapids, and it's a golf course that I rarely think about and don't play that often. And I get out there, and every time I play it I get done, and I just don't know why I don't get out there more, because it's a great golf course. And so I played it on Sunday in a three-man scramble. Got out with a couple of guys. We ended up playing as a cash events, so they paired us up with another threesome, so we ended up playing in a sixsome. So it was an excruciatingly long round of golf, but that gave me all the more time to absorb the details and kind of get some stuff to deliver to you guys. So before we dip into Thornapple Point, you guys know what to do. Hang tight, grab the ad, and when we get back, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about the golf course and just kind of it's just it's There's a lot to offer. Thornapple Point's got a lot of cool stuff. So I'm going to try and keep it tight-ish. But again, ad first, Thornapple Point second. So hang tight. We'll be right back. Welcome back, guys. And let's just dive right into it. What the heck? So Thornapple Point, if you guys know it, awesome. If you don't, jump on their website, thornapplepoint.com, and check it out. It's one of those golf courses that's super cool, a ton of fun, provides a great test, tee to green, and conditions are just primo, and I hardly ever get out there. And I think it's just because it's kind of a little further out of the way for me personally. It's never really close to where I'm at. Was never close to my office when I was working in Grand Rapids. Definitely not close to home. But I just need to make more of a priority and a point of getting out there, because it's definitely worth it. And some of you guys, if you have played it, you'll know. Back in high school and college and stuff, when I used to get out to Thornapple a little bit more, we had a high school event out there, and I think some of us in college, we used to play out there quite a bit. But it's got a kind of a nickname, which is definitely more than appropriate. A lot of guys that I used to play Thornapple with would call it Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and if you've played it, you'll know exactly why. Because Thornapple Point is one that you can see right there from 96. You can see it from the highway. There's a couple of holes, 12 green, 13 tee box, kind of in that area, where you're right there. Cars are driving past, and obviously you're not that close to the highway, but you're close enough where you can see them, you can hear them, and they're definitely there. And planes, you're right there on East Grand Rapids. You're right by the airport. I mean, shoot, the runway has got to be just a couple of decent tee shots away from the golf course and driving range. So planes, automobiles, and then the lesser of the three is trains, but there's a train track that runs right through the golf course. I actually don't know that I've ever played when a train has gone by, but I could see how a train ripping through, shoot, what hole is it? Three. Two and three parallel the train tracks, and then you go under a bridge and go underneath them to kind of go between holes. But so planes, trains, automobiles, you get the best of all three. And the planes are really cool, actually. I enjoy it. It's a lot of fun, kind of, if it doesn't distract you and it doesn't bother you, it kind of just gives you something to look at and kind of take your mind away from the game for a second. If you're playing well or playing poorly, sometimes that's beneficial. And it's a lot of fun when you're out there and you just kind of all of a sudden you're getting ready to hit, or you're waiting for your buddies to hit, and you just see this big jet just taking off, and it's cool. And then sometimes if it's sunny out, nice out, the shadow will go over, and just a neat experience that you don't get on every golf course, that's for sure. But for today's round, we played again three-man scramble. It was Thornapple Point's Chili Open event, so it was just kind of really really cool. They set it up, of course, again in great condition. The greens were firm-ish. I mean, not super firm, but they were definitely good. They were so smooth, so fast, and so true. And for the amount of rain we had, there were a few holes that were cart path only, but otherwise the course was just in awesome shape for being October 25th or whatever day it was. But they didn't have all the tee markers out, so they played us on what they just kind of custom set up as the pumpkin tees. And they said it played at roughly 6,700 yards, but I really feel like it played longer. From the back tees, it's 7,000 yards, and we played every bit of the back tees on 90% of the holes. They did move one up. They moved hole 9 up from 387 to, I think, right around that 300 mark, 300 and change maybe. But then they backed 10 up. The 10 was 358. They played hole 10 from the back of the tee box on 1, which added probably 40 yards. So there was definitely a lot of give and take as the event kind of went on. But for course overview's sake, let's start right on hole 1. And hole 1 back in the day, I will say I used to hate this hole. I don't hate it anymore, but I used to hate it back in high school because we had our high school event out here that we'd play in. And at that point, you're teeing off first thing in the morning. And I've probably complained about this in previous podcasts, but I never liked teeing off first thing in the morning on holes that face straight east because you're hitting straight into the rising sun. And that drives me nuts. And I've just never been good at it, and I hate getting off to rough starts. And again, it's probably more of an issue in my mind than it is in reality, but hole 1 at Thornapple is 453 yards. There's a fairway bunker out there on the right, and there's out of bounds right of that. So there's so much room left, but the tee box kind of points you up the right. That fairway bunker just kind of draws your eyes in and makes a good target for anybody that's going to try and cover that and catch it. The fairway kind of goes out and then goes pretty significantly downhill past that bunker. So if the course is playing firm and you cover that bunker, you're going to get a pretty good amount of run out and shorten the hole considerably. But I can't tell you how many times back in the day I used to play here and just come up out of my shot, blow it right out of bounds into this dude's backyard, and all of a sudden you're hitting three off the tee, and that three off the tee you're still hitting into the rising sun. So it was not uncommon for me to just kind of pull, snipe, hook one left and just try and just keep it on the golf course and not in this gentleman's backyard, because it's just not cool. But on Sunday, we took my tee shot and I carried that bunker just by a little bit. But again, the fairway wasn't super firm, wasn't super soft, but I didn't get a ton of run out. So we still had probably, again, from where we teed off from, gosh, what did we have? We had a back hole location, and I hit a 6-iron, so it's probably in the neighborhood of 190-ish or so. So long hole, good drive, still have a long ways in. The guys that we played with, they were back even with the fairway bunker, had over 200 yards in. And this green is just ridiculous. It's the front, probably two-thirds, front half maybe, is really big, and then it kind of goes up a rise to the back of the green, and it's very narrow back there. And so if they put a pin on that back shelf, it is dicey. It's a tough approach shot to that back pin, because then right of the green, so if you're middle of the green but right, there's just a huge collection area where everything runs off to. It's closely mown, so kind of fairway cut, and it's a tough opening hole in my opinion. There's a greenside bunker front left that'll catch anything that kind of comes up short in that direction. And it's just, welcome to Thornapple. I feel like I used that a couple of times on other different golf courses, but I mean, they're not shy right out of the gate. But thankfully, after hole 1, in my opinion, the golf course kind of opens up a bit. Gives you a little more freedom, a little more opportunity to breathe, kind of exhale a little bit, and just kind of ease into the round. Hole 2 is a great hole, one of my favorites, and I don't really know why it's my favorite. But it's just it's a simple hole. It's 426, so still pretty long. Tee shot goes back up the hill, and it's one where, again, the tees kind of aim you up the right. There's a couple of trees out there that visually make pretty good targets, but you've got so much room to miss left. The fairway is absolutely huge. It feels like you're hitting into a driving range. And so I actually yanked my tee shot here because I aimed up the right and tried to just kind of draw one out there, and ended up coming over a little bit, pulling it, and then drawing. And I thought I was left of the fairway. Lo and behold, I get up there, and I'm just barely left side. I mean, just left of center, which for us in our scramble, it really opened up the angle into the flag. They cut some pretty darn tough hole locations out there. And this pin was tucked in that back right side. And from anywhere right side of this fairway, right rough, you've got almost an impossible approach shot to this pin that's tucked just over a little kind of a little hill there coming onto the green. So it didn't even look like the flag was on the putting surface. So super difficult shot here. Thankfully, my buddy hit one in there pretty tight to about maybe 6 feet or so. Just hit a really, really good shot. I hit 9 iron, I think. Yeah, I tried to fade a little 9 iron in there and just caught middle of the green. My buddy kind of hooked, he's left-handed, he hooded one in there and put us to about 6 feet, which was awesome. Unfortunately, I go last in these scrambles, so I'll hit last, I'll putt last. Unfortunately, my two buddies I play with couldn't knock down the 6-footer, so it's kind of a, you know, one of those things where you got a third guy's got to step up and you're like, dude, guys, that's straight in. Why am I hitting this putt? But thankfully, they're cool guys, so I can rib them pretty good, and they'll roll with it. We've known each other for a long time, played golf together in high school and college, so a couple of good dudes. And I made the birdie putt, so thankfully didn't waste a pretty darn good opportunity there. And then going to the par 4 third, this is where you kind of go into the bridge. You go through this tunnel under the train tracks and then go up. And hole 3 is a downhill tee shot. Another kind of long hole. That for 7,000 yards, I mean, that's pretty long, but I feel like there's a lot of par 4s over 400 out here. So this one's 435. And I used to not like this one either, just because there's so much trouble to the right. And I always get a little uneasy with tee shots where there's trouble right, because that's kind of always been my miss. But I've been driving it really well lately, so thankfully I stepped up to this tee with a lot of confidence, and there's a fairway bunker out there on the left that just kind of sits off the left side of the fairway, just in the rough. I think it was like 313 yards. I remember lasering it, something in that neighborhood. So I aimed right at it, knowing that in the cold weather and stuff, I'm not going to get there, and ended up putting it down the left side of the fairway, just short of the bunker, which was perfect. But again, left us in that kind of 160-ish yard range to a kind of a cozy back left hole location. And this green, it's pretty good size. Angles front right to back left. Again, back left's kind of got a small shelf on it. So it's got some bunkering out to the right, but doesn't really come into play, at least to this hole location. And for me, being a drawer of the golf ball, it just kind of fits my eye, because I can aim out there at the middle of the green and just kind of hood one in there and rope it back to that back left side, which I did, as well as a buddy of mine. We both hit it in there pretty good. Unfortunately, just a tough putt. We didn't get all the way back as far as we needed to, so we had probably 15, 18 feet for birdie there. And just a little bit over a rise, coming off that left edge of the green, everything kind of breaks back down to the right, so we had a bit of a slider, and ended up two-putting that for par, so nothing too fancy there. I mean, we came close to making it, but it was one of those putts where at Thornapple on Sunday, the greens were just, like I said, so smooth, so true, that you really had to be conscious of your speed, especially on anything that resembled a downhill putt, because whether it was us, whether it was the guys we were playing with, I can't tell you how many putts I saw that would roll 4, 5, 6 feet past the hole before they even tried to stop. And it was unreal. So you kind of really had to be delicate. And we took our two putt for par there and heading to 4. 4 is, I have a love-hate relationship with 4, because I love the tee shot and I hate the approach shot. And at 407 yards, we played this one up a little bit. I think it was in the neighborhood of 360-ish. So I guess we did lose some yardage on 4, but super open tee shot. Very wide fairway. There's a bunker up there that made a great target. Again, right in that 310, 315 range, so I wasn't worried about getting to it on the cool day that Sunday was. There's more bunkering up the left, but I don't really feel like that comes into play. It's kind of there. I don't know if it's just there kind of for visuals, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know the guys that are getting there, because it takes a bomb and you got to miss pretty decently left. And so, again, design feature maybe, but I can't see those bunkers getting a ton of play. But the hate part of this hole is the uphill approach shot. It's just a ridiculous uphill approach shot. You can't see the putting surface. It's a pretty narrow green right to left. Kind of goes front right to back left, so it angles back there on you. You do have a left greenside bunker. If you do come up short left, it will catch that, which is going to leave you no bargain of a bunker shot to a green that's probably every bit of 8 to 10 feet above you at that point. And we came into this hole. We had 60 yards. They put this pin right on the stink in front of this green. So now, honestly, this was probably a poor choice. We took my tee shot out of the rough from 60 yards when my buddy was about 95 yards in the left side of the fairway. And in hindsight, maybe that's the easier shot, 95 yards, give yourself a full wedge going up the hill to the front hole location versus trying to hit a 60-yard flop shot out of the rough to a green with a pretty significant false front. And thankfully, one of my buddies hit one in there. He went first. He hit one in there good, kind of skipped one in there. Ended up, and we couldn't see it when it landed, of course, being uphill, but looked to be past the hole, kind of just in a good spot. And so I ended up going again third and just trying to be super cute with it, which was dumb, and tried to flop one in there, came up short, caught the front edge of the green, and just watched it roll all the way back down. So this, again, 60 yard wedge shot, I bet you this thing hit the front of that front edge of the green just in the fringe there, probably rolled 40 yards back down the hill. So if you're playing your own ball, good luck. I mean, that's just poor execution and probably not super well thought out. But again, thankfully, it's a scramble. So my buddy, about 12 feet past the hole. But we get up there and you're thinking, dude, this is probably the worst 12 to 15 footer that you could possibly have. Because, which, again, kind of fall, scramble. They cut tough pins. They make it hard. I get it. But this pin was so dangerously close to the front edge of this green that if you roll this putt past the hole with any significant amount of speed, one of my buddies did. He putted it right off the green. It just trundled past the hole. Didn't even try to slow down. Just goes, catches the fringe, and next thing you know, it's rolling down the hill. And so that's dicey stuff. So I got to imagine there were some probably at least bogeys, if not worse, on that hole. But thankfully, I was putting well, and little just kind of left to right slider and ended up catching the hole and going in. So I kind of feel like we stole a birdie on that hole to get to two under. But again, just you got to take what you can get out here because the course is going to test you. And it, again, kind of pretty friendly off the tee, so it doesn't super test you there. But this course is going to test you on and around the greens, just between smooth, fast, dicey putting surfaces and just kind of some tricky green complexes. And they can, again, cut some tough, tough hole locations out here, whether it's a scramble or not. It just depends on how mean they want to be. But that was a huge birdie for us going to the par 5 fifth. That one measures 633 yards, so no chance of getting home in two, especially on a day like today when it was 45 degrees and slightly windy. So we ended up taking my tee shot. It's a wide hole, but I erred on the side of extreme caution and added a substantial amount of length to the hole. If you play it off the right side, you can kind of take a cut towards the green. You have to carry the pond. So this hole kind of runs out onto a peninsula into this lake. And so if you end up hugging the right side, you've got to cover water to get to the layup area. I yanked it left into the what would normally be fescue, but in a scramble, it's not a big deal. I was just left to the cart path. And it wasn't thick. It was all kind of cut down, and it was fine to play out of. So we ended up taking that one just because it opened up the angle to lay up to where we didn't have to hit it over water. So this is, it's every bit of a three-shot hole, but it's a long three-shot hole. So my buddy laid up. He hit a hybrid up there, kind of yanked it. Didn't put us in a good spot. My other buddy hit a three-wood up there and was quite a ways back just because didn't catch it quite right at coming out of that long grass. Ended up in the left side of the fairway, but he had, lo and behold, as we found out when we got up there, he had 190 yards in for his third shot. So we would have had a tough, tough three-shot hole there. Thankfully, I hit a three-wood out of there, squeezed it up the hazard line, and was just stayed in by the skin of my teeth. It was right on the line. But we only had about 130 yards in from there. So we ended up taking mine, coming out of the right rough. But again, super long and narrow green. Thornapple's got some of these. They've got some really kind of long, narrow putting surfaces with pretty significant undulation. And this one's protected on the right side by a couple of greenside bunkers. There's one that's kind of front right, and then there's one that's kind of middle back right. But plenty of room left. And we had a back right hole location. None of us hit anything worth talking about. So we ended up with about, gosh, did any of us even hit the green? I think one of us might have hit the green, but it was probably about 50 feet short. We ended up taking mine, which I yanked, tried to squeeze a fade in there to that back right hole location, just kind of pulled it into the left fringe, but still had probably 35, 40 feet. I mean, we ended up taking that one because we didn't have to putt up over the ridge. Coming up to that back again, there's just, Thornapple does that, undulations, ridges, stuff like that. And so we took the path of less resistance, definitely not the path of least resistance, but gave ourselves a run at the birdie. Both of my partners darn near made the putt, which was just awesome. Coming out of the fringe, going up a little bit of a rise, putt that bends to the right and then flattens out. And we thought it was going to die left a little at the end. These guys both just burned the edge of the cup, which was incredible. And then I stepped up and just totally whiffed it. So I had gave it absolutely no opportunity to go in. I pulled it left, never even tried to break back to the right, and just a poor putt. So unfortunately, with a par on five, that kind of stalled our momentum after getting a good birdie on four. But heading to the sixth hole. Six is a par three out of Thornapple, and the par threes out here are tough. I've got the card right here in front of me, and looking at the par three yardages, you go 203, 188, 185, 181. So you've got three of them right in that 180 range. So you're probably hitting, depending on hole location, again, because these greens are massive, they can be very, very big greens. Depending on hole location, you're probably hitting roughly the same club into three of the par threes, pretty much no matter what tee box you play. Because even if you bump up to the blues, you're right around the 170 mark, and then up to the whites, you're in the 150 to 160 range. So regardless of tee box, three of the four par threes are going to play pretty similar. But this one at 203, I hit a four iron, and this was comical because we're coming off the fifth where we can't hit the green with a nine iron from a buck 30, and we go to the 203 yard sixth hole, and my entire group goes flag hunting, and my buddy hits first. He burns a three iron in there with a low draw to this back right hole location. Somehow manages to just hold the back edge of the green. My other buddy goes and takes one right at it. He comes up about a half a club, maybe a club short, just in the front fringe, but again, right at the stick. And then I go last, and I hit a four iron, and I smoke it again right at the flag. Just kind of got it up in the air, and this thing was just nutted because it ended up somehow, some way, flying the green, which I did not expect whatsoever. And this is a well-protected green. The green, especially right, where most guys are going to kind of leak it. If a right-handed golfer misses 90% of the time, it's going to be a miss to the right. So they've got some bunkering over there that's going to catch your ball. But again, just a big putting surface, very long front to back. It's kind of got a back right section, a back left section. And so you got to really be conscious of where you're putting the ball in the greens if you want to have a good look at birdie. Because green in regulation doesn't mean as much here at Thornapple as it does on other golf courses, just because these greens are so segmented and so tricky that you can be on the putting surface, but just because you're on the putting surface and have a putt for birdie, you might be better off with a chip or a pitch shot for birdie from just off the green and closer to where the hole's cut. So, I mean, GIR here doesn't essentially equate to good scores and a good round. So you got to be conscious of where the flag's at and getting the distances right and just kind of dialing it in there. But we ended up two putting here for par, which was kind of a drag because the group we played with, they were about maybe 2 feet behind us just to the left. So we got to watch the three of them putt. Then my two partners got to putt, and then I got to putt. And gosh, I probably, again, hit the worst putt out of everybody, which I've been putting well, and I putted well that day, but I don't know what it is. Sometimes you just don't have it. And so, again, I think my two buddies scared the hole on this par three, and then I just totally whiffed. I didn't even come close. So not a very good contribution there on my part, but hey, you can't always contribute. And so we ended up walking away with another par. So our momentum was kind of stalled. And after being kind of stalled, we're looking to get it back going to the par five seventh. And this par five is only 490. So a very short, by par five standards, gettable hole. You tee off, you go over a bit of a kind of a marshland hazard, not really a ravine, but you got to cover it to get to the fairway. We ended up taking my drive. I bombed one up the right side and had, like, I think we had a 203 or 200 in. And this hole, so this was my logic here on 7, because 7 and 6 go the same direction. Granted, we're in the right side of the fairway, right rough, which is perfect because the green kind of sets back up the hill to the left. There's greenside bunkers there that protect the entire front of this green. There's a set of three bunkers there. Fairway and approach to the right, so you've got a lot of room right if you're going for this green and two to miss. But here's my logic, and I just kind of failed to take into account one very obvious factor. And again, playing almost the same yardage as what we just played on six, going slightly uphill, and last hole my four iron, I kind of jumped that one and it shot long. I've got a front hole location here. I know if I can throw this sky high, cover the bunker, land on the front of the green, we're going to have a great look at eagle. So what do? I take one less club. I took five iron instead of four, thinking, all right, hoist this thing up there, swing it in there with a draw. And when I hit this, this ball never left the flag. Just kind of started falling left right at the stick. Super high. One of those that's going to land very softly. And I'm thinking we're going to be money for eagle. One of my buddies, he ended up laying up in the fairway out there, and I can't remember where the other guy went, but oh, he was greenside bunkers as well. But yeah, spoiler there. I came up short, caught the bunker, which not all that bad, I think. But this is a dicey hole location. This was a squirrely little spot, 'cause that front of this green is a super, like, just kind of concave bowl, and this pin is cut just kind of right on the edge of it. So I wish I could tell you guys more about this green, but we were just kind of hyper focused on the front edge here. And my buddy hit a good bunker shot to probably about 4 feet, just kind of landed left of the hole, kind of caught the rim of the bowl and rolled right of the cup, settled about 4 feet. I hit almost the same exact shot, and so we ended up having about 4 feet for birdie. But this is one of those putts where you got 4 feet, but you've just got a slider. And these are tough putts because you got to be delicate. You can't hit it too firm. Otherwise, you're going to blow it past the hole. And yet you're so close, but you've got to play this. Shoot, we probably played it a cup out to the right. So a good few inches. And my buddy missed low. And so I said, all right, just take that same line and hit it harder. And I think I took a little higher line. I hit it too hard. And so now we're feeling really dejected because here we are, shortest par 5 on the course at 490. We had a long iron in from just primo location, and we ended up making par. So that kind of took a bit of wind out of our sails and was a bit of a drag and definitely stalled our momentum. But heading to the par 3 eighth, this is another good golf hole and a really cool hole in my opinion, because you kind of tee off up on the hill a little bit. The approach kind of goes down, but then comes back up to the green. You guessed it, huge green, kind of a big front, big ridge that cuts across the middle to back third of the putting surface to a back shelf. Pin was cut all the way back. There's greenside bunkers left, one short, one kind of mid to back of green. So anything that goes left is going to catch the sand. And then there's kind of a tree out on the right that I don't know if it really comes into play much, but visually it's a little intimidating out there. But we had a back left hole location, and being a drawer of the golf ball, that's perfect for me. I loved it. So I don't think either of my partners hit the green. And so I took a 5-iron and just kind of tried to swing a big high draw back to this hole location, which ended up being perfectly pin high, just caught the middle of the green. And I thought this was going to be great. I thought, that's fine. We can be there. We can make that putt. Lo and behold, we get up there, and we've just got another stupid slider that just blows my mind. This putt probably blew my mind more than any other putt that we had to hit today or on that particular day. We had probably 25 feet, so nothing close, 20-25 feet tops, but so significantly downhill. I could not believe how deceiving this was, because this green, it does not appear, but it slopes so much from right to left, kind of coming off the hill that this green is perched onto. And so my partner, the first guy that putt, I think he putted it off the green, and I don't think that the second guy did a whole lot better, just because all of a sudden we're kind of in shock because we've got this putt where we're thinking we can kind of maybe knock this one down, to now all of a sudden thinking, oh my gosh, we have to be so delicate with this, and had to play every bit of probably 4 to 5 feet of break, and probably had to hit this putt like it was about a 10-footer instead of a 20-footer. And so my buddy hits it. He does the same thing, burns it past the hole. So now I'm putting third and thinking, goodness gracious, just please let us two putt this. So I just very, very delicately died one in there that did almost catch the cup. It looked really good for a really long time and ended up settling just past the hole. And we ended up knocking that in from, still, I say just past the hole, but this ran every bit of probably 3 feet by. And so super just difficult hole location here. And all around good par three. So our par streak continues as we head to nine. And nine was a cool hole. Nine, I don't like nine from the back tees. And I don't really know why. 387, but again, trouble right. And I think that just kind of, the tees kind of aim you right. So I think I just never really felt comfortable on this hole, even being a drawer of the golf ball. But they moved us up to 300, so you could take a pretty good cut at it. It was only 278 to front edge. And I ended up just kind of hitting this squirrely little toe hook out there that ended up in the fescue left, which was playable. But my buddy, another guy we played with, hit one out there. It just caught the left rough, short of the bunker. There's greenside bunker up there and kind of a approach bunker that comes into play. But he ended up just short of that. So we had about a 60-yard flip wedge to a back hole location, which, again, kind of just took me back to hole four. When we had that 60-yarder uphill, I thought to myself, if I hit that same shot that I hit on four, because now I'm not going up a 20-foot rise, I should be pretty good here. This should be good. And so my buddy hit one in there pretty decent, gave us a good opportunity to go for birdie. And so I got to be a little more aggressive and darn near hold it. My pitch mark was about maybe 4 or 5 inches just past the hole to the left and left us about a foot to tap in for birdie. So that was good. That was huge for us because, again, easy hole today. Not normally this easy of a golf hole. This green is, again, super long front to back and kind of angles front right to back left kind of around the bunkers. So just, again, it's I just keep repeating myself. On Thornapple, on these greens, you just got to make sure you're putting the ball in the right places. So if you're coming in here from just be confident. Be confident in your club selection. Be confident in your yardage and just trust what you're doing because you're going to want to make sure your ball is in at least the vicinity of the hole. Otherwise, you're going to just leave yourself a tester of a two-putt. And so, again, we tapped in for birdie out in 33. So in a three-man scramble, we're not playing great. We're not playing bad. I kind of felt like we left a few out there on the front nine with that par streak of especially parring two par fives on five and seven. So not exactly how we wanted to kind of go out, but three under par, we're okay. Heading to 10 again, this is where I told you guys, this is kind of a squirrely little hole because you can't see the fairway from the tee box, at least from the tee we played. There's kind of a bit of a ditch. It's not significant. There's just a small, I couldn't even tell you how wide it is, maybe 10 yards wide tops where the fairway kind of breaks, and then this little ditch runs through that's probably just a few feet wide, but you still don't want to be in it. It is hazard. So they backed us up to the back of one tee box, which played at a significantly different angle where you can't see any fairway. We bombed one up the right side and took my tee shot, which was down, ended up down by the cart path, which surprised me because there was way more room left than I had thought that there was going to be from that angle. But I'm not going to give you guys a ton of details on that just because if you go out and play Thornapple for fun, you're not going to be playing hole 10 from the back of one tee box. So 358, wide fairway. Just make sure you pump it out there but stay short of the hazard, and you're going to leave yourself a flip wedge. We had 70 yards to a middle back hole location. So anything shorter than that, you're looking at 90 to 110. And not a very difficult green. There's a front right bunker, front left bunker, and then there's a bunker right in the back. I can't imagine that back bunker gets a ton of play. But this green slopes significantly back to front. So, I mean, just again, just basic course knowledge and kind of course management. Just leave yourself below the hole. Don't. Especially on these greens, don't put yourself above the hole if you don't have to, because then you're going to be just tapping the putt and praying that it stops. And so give yourself the uphill putt. That's what we did inadvertently. I kind of, sometimes in scrambles, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes when you get to place the ball, I'll kind of prop it up there on the grass a little bit too high coming out of the rough. And I just need to not do that because, especially with wedges, I find I hit the ball on the top of the face a lot. A little high on the face, comes out dead, and it just doesn't carry the distance that it needs to. So just from 70 yards, we took my shot, which left us about, again, 25 feet below the hole. So an uphill putt, nothing fancy. This was actually our last hole of the day, but for the sake of the course overview, we're going to obviously keep chugging them through the back nine. But so we two putter for par, nothing special. I did almost make it, kind of burn the left edge and tap in for par. But going to 11, I feel like this is where the golf course, it's for me, kind of gets difficult. And I think it's just lack of playing there. I don't play there enough to be super comfortable back here. But 11's got a really friendly looking tee shot. From the back tees, it's 411 yards. There's fairway bunkers up the left that make a great aim point if you're going to kind of cut one off of there and squeeze a fade. That's probably the shot of choice. But what makes this hole kind of quirky and tough is there's a couple of big, tall trees on the right side where my tee shot was actually in the fairway. And I'd consider it a good tee shot, especially for being my first hole of the day in the beginning of the scramble. But I'm 190 yards out and I'm blocked by these three trees where we had a back right hole location. So if this pin was anywhere besides front left of this green, you've got to hit if we would have taken my ball, we would have had to hit probably like a 30 yard slider. Just a real squeeze slice to even try to get back to this hole location. And on top of that, the middle right side of this green is guarded by greenside bunkers. So just impossible. So we took my buddies who again was a little bit behind. We had probably 205 yards, maybe. All I know is, again, this was our first hole today. I hit 4-iron. So hitting driver 4-iron into a par 4 is not exactly easy and not exactly what you think you want to be doing in a scramble. But thankfully, the guy that hit first, he's the lefty, kind of drew one in there. And that's why I like having a lefty on my team, because lefties can hit especially a lefty that's a drawer of the golf ball. He can kind of manipulate the ball and move it one way. I draw it and move it the other way, so we can really kind of get all the angles covered. But he swung one in there. I ended up in the front greenside bunker because I did not hit it hard enough and just being cold. But we had probably 35 or so feet. We had a long putt for birdie. And I just not expecting at all to make this putt, but my buddy steps up. He's the first one to roll it. It wasn't a hard putt, at least from what we could tell. You're kind of perched up 11. You're perched up on the hill that is going to kind of, you're looking back at the river down there. And so you got to be conscious of where the water's at and just kind of know that, hey, this putt's probably going to be fast because geographically, just the way the slope is, we're putting back effectively downhill. So my buddy was conscious of that, and this putt probably broke like 2 inches from 30 feet. It was insane. He lined it up just outside the right edge, maybe a ball or so outside right, and just washed it coast and cruise and find the bottom of the cup, which was awesome. So birdie on 11 felt like a steal when you're hitting a long iron into this green to a back right hole location. It's just not one that you think you're going to come by often. But then going to 12, 12 is a par 3, 185 yards, and I like 12. And it's just a pretty golf hole. It's kind of back, you're teeing off a little bit elevated, you're going back downhill. There are some bunkers out there. There's a big fairway kind of approach, and then a front left greenside bunker, and then there's a middle back right greenside bunker. We had a back right hole location, and so I hit 5-iron here and just tried to hoist one up there and draw it in there. Kind of the wind was blowing out of the right, so just tried to ride that back to this hole location. And I love the shot into 12, but the green is brutal. This is a tough green. Goes without saying it is big, as they all are at Thornapple. But again, just echoing the put yourself in the right position, and even if you are in the right position, sometimes it's still not going to be easy because this back right corner was up a rise kind of on this little plateau, but it's also kind of a bit of a bowl, so they get you up there to this back shelf and then they kind of carve it out. So even the putts up there are not easy. The guys we played with, they had a putt from probably 50 feet or so pin high left, but they were down at the bottom of the slope, kind of on the middle left side of the green. So they putt up this hill, they crest it to the top, and then it's all downhill. And the first two guys, gosh, they had to have, I mean, inadvertently, without even obviously trying, because you're never trying to roll a putt 8 to 10 feet past the hole, but they crest the hill and they just catch the slope and it just burns rubber, goes right past the cup. And these guys had a very, very difficult two putt on their hands. I was closest to the pin. Granted, this was very early in the day at this point, but I was probably 15 feet maybe. So I had a good one in there, but this was a tough one to read and I significantly underread it. So the first guy that I hit didn't even come close. We had just a stupid, stupid fast slider again from 12, 15 feet. And you're having to play this putt with about every bit of 3 to 4 feet of break. It is just insane because the way, I mean, if you picture this bowl kind of being carved out, we're just kind of riding the outside ridge because they had this pin cut right at the kind of the top edge of it. So we're riding the ridge of this little bowl. And for being a relatively decent range birdie putt, just zero chance. And you've got to marry the speed and line just perfectly, which kind of goes without saying to make putts, but just not an easy one. So we two putted for par, which kind of felt like letting one go just because it took a good shot to get to that 12 to 15 foot range. And the walkway with par kind of felt a little bit eh, but heading to the par 5 13th, you got an opportunity to get one back. And the par 5 13th, I think, is the most difficult hole in the golf course. It is rated as the 8 handicap hole, which I don't know. I don't know who does this and how they do it, but for me, it's difficult because you're running along the river, so you miss left. Granted, it's you're teeing off downhill, huge fairway, but it's still intimidating because there's trees on the right, water on the left. The water on the left doesn't really come into play off the tee unless you just aim left or just double cross. You gotta do some work to get yourself in trouble left off this tee. But I bailed out right into the trees, so that didn't help our cause. There's a couple of fairway bunkers. There's one way out there on the left side that you can aim at as a great target if you're kind of a fader of the golf ball. Otherwise, there's a fairway bunker on the right side that you can aim at as well if you're a drawer of the ball. And I think you can cover that right side bunker if you bomb one. But we were back a ways, making it a three-shot hole. I think, gosh, we had a long freaking ways into 13, like 280 or so, 270. So not exactly go-for-it material, but thankfully in a three-man scramble, my buddy laid up with a hybrid. And the approach is what's difficult. I think that's what makes this hole, the approach in the green. And so if you're laying up, this is where the river really comes into play because now you're guarding against left 100% because the fairway runs, there's a little strip of rough, and then you're over the embankment and down in the water. And so if you miss right, there's what, 1, 2, 3, 4 kind of approach bunkers right in that 100 yard and in range that just kind of pepper the right side. So if you miss left, you're left with, or miss right, I'm sorry, with, you're stuck with one of those awkwardly long fairway bunker shots, fairway slash greenside bunker. Cause I don't know about you guys, but I don't practice bunker shots from 60, 70, 80 yards. And so not my cup of tea. Thankfully my buddy hit a hybrid up there and squeezed it in the kind of mid left side of the fairway, which was good. I took a 3-wood trying to get us up there. Cause I thought, well, there's no point in dropping another ball on top of that. So I might as well try and get one up there further. And I hooded it and yanked it into the water. So that was no bueno. But then the sad thing is, gosh, I can't remember how far we had. 100 and, gosh, he laid back a little further. 120 maybe, if I remember right. Just because we were going to a back left hole location. And green's kind of guarded by a left side, green side bunker. And so I tried to draw one in there. And we had the ball slightly above our feet, which I thought I took into account, but my buddy, he hit first, he yanked it right at the green, kind of tugged it. Then my other buddy kind of doesn't hit one very well and leaves it left in the greenside bunker also. And then what do I do? I mean, this should be just a bread and butter golf shot right here. Just aim right, let the lie, take it back to the left, curve it into there to that back left hole location. And I overdo it as well, end up down the sand. So just kind of three lousy golf shots on a par five. And we ended up taking my buddies who missed to the right just because that way we were pitching back into the hill. This green kind of, they designed this one to kind of go against the river. So this green sloped left to right. So pitching back into the hill, we just kind of gave ourselves a good little 2.5-3 footer for par, which my buddy made. And on to the next, but we parred the first three par fives on this golf course. And that's, in a three-person scramble, especially with guys that can hit the ball a decent distance, parring three par fives, you're giving up just stupid strokes to the rest of the field. You're kind of wasting opportunities there. And then going to 14 is another par four that's over 400. It's 422 from the back. And you got to carry the water, which isn't a big deal. There's a couple sets of tees on the backside, and then you drive over the bridge to get to the fairway. But it's not a terribly hard hole. There's plenty of room out there, but just visually, you get, from the back tees, you're kind of squeezed a little bit. So it makes it awkward and uncomfortable for me. I tried to fade one and just kind of hit a cut out there that started up the left side and faded back to center. And I did a bit of a double cross and toe hooked it and into the junk. So that one's back in the water too and wet. Thankfully, my buddy hit one out there and caught the left side of the fairway. But even then, gosh, I don't remember how far out we were. It was far, a lot further than you want to be on a 422-yard hole. Because I think I hit 6-iron. Granted, we were going back into the wind. But yeah, I had a 6-iron into this hole. So it's just not easy. And they cut this pin right on the front of this green, which is just dirty. It's been a while since I've talked about dirty hole locations, but this is a dirty hole location. So huge green. Goes without saying, because all of them at Thornapple are, but very deep front to back, pretty wide on the front side, and they cut this pin. There's a bunker that just runs right up to the front of the green, this pot bunker, and they put this pin right on the back side of that. And so we ended up taking my ball, because I kind of skinnied one out there to the front right side of the green, pin high. My buddy had about 50-60 feet from the back of the green coming back, putting to the pin, but this green, just this shelf and ridge hump, whatever you want to call it, just bisects the green right in the smack middle. So we were putting from the right. Our competitors that we were playing with were putting from the left. We're both putting uphill, which is advantageous, of course. But this, the front of this green slopes back to the middle. So again, huge bender. And we're both sitting there thinking, if either of us runs this putt too far past the hole, we're going to be putting effectively from where each other are putting from now. So you just had to be stupid delicate and just not in the position that you want to be in. Thankfully, we did two putt for par, which was kind of humdrum. A couple of the guys that I was playing with, they rolled theirs pretty far. One of them, I think, kept it within 6 or so feet. But there were a couple of times where it's just like the first guy putts and you're just thinking, man, I did not see that. How did that ball break that much? How did that ball roll out that much? And Thornapple will do that to you, but you got to play there a few times to get comfortable on these greens, but it's worth doing because they're awesome putting surfaces. They're so good and they're so pure. And I've talked a lot about, for me, putting on just pure greens, that's my jam. That's what I love. I'll play any golf course where the greens are smooth, fast, and true. And so Thornapple hits all those marks. But unfortunately, our par streak continues, heading to the par 3 15th. And like I said earlier, 180 yards, so we're kind of hitting that same shot, but just kind of, I think our momentum stalled. We had that awesome birdie on 11, ripped off a couple of pars where we kind of left some shots out there, and none of us hit the green on this par 3. We ended up taking mine, but the green is very, very long, front right, angles to back left. There's bunkering all up the left side, but I like this hole because there's a big tree that sets off the back right side of the green. For me, it's a great target to draw one in off of. Unfortunately, I aimed at it and just kind of hit it straight at this tree at zero draw because this pin was kind of tucked back around that front left bunker. So I tried to hood one in there, but no dice. But it was still the better alternative to my buddies who were in those greenside bunkers. So my first partner that hit, he darn near holed it. So this goes both ways for me. So he almost pitches it in, hits this delicate little kind of buttery flop shot that lands on, catches the ridge, kicks left, rolls out, ends up almost catching the hole and finishes just outside the right edge. And so at that point you're like, okay, cool, this is a difficult pitch shot, thanks for doing that, because now we're in with an easy par, but the only thing that's going to be significant is holing it. So part of me, when that happens, it's like part of me really focuses on holing it. But when it's not an easy pitch shot, it's one of those that you're probably going to hole one out of 100 times. Sometimes I don't focus as much. And so I kind of flubbed it on the green and not even worth telling you guys about. But our par streak was alive. So for three guys missing the green, get up and down, save the par, move on to the next. And this is where the highlight reel starts, because 16, par 5, 531. We've parred every other par 5 on the course. We left ourselves, gosh, this is the long drive hole. And unfortunately, there was only one long drive and it didn't differentiate men and women. So there was a girl out there who hit high, nasty bombs, and she was a mile ahead of anywhere that any guy was ever going to end up off this tee. So we had 100 or 245 yards into this green, and I used this opportunity to just try and smoke that 5-wood I love. And I'm really enjoying that 5-wood a ton, but ended up overdrawing it and just missing short left of this green. So kind of put ourselves in a bad spot there. But my buddy had laid up perfectly to the right side of the fairway, 60 yards out. So we took his shot going back to this kind of middle left hole location, hitting back into the ridge, huge putting surface. But my buddy hits one of them, hits first, the lefty hits first, ends up kind of yanking it a little bit. And then my second buddy hits, and this is comical because I shoot the yardage, I say 60 yards. His comment is, as if that matters, because I don't know how far I'm hitting my wedges anyway, because he doesn't play much anymore and hasn't practiced much. And what does he do? He nips this thing so perfectly. And as soon as it leaves the club face, I'm thinking, this is money. You just kind of nipped one in there for us. We're going to have a great putt at birdie. And we're watching this thing, and it slam dunks. I've never seen anybody, it did not touch the putting surface, just goes straight to the bottom of the cup. And catch, it was unreal. It was one of those, it's like, talk about making it rain. It was so stinking cool. And the guys we were playing with, our playing competitors, they were up taking a pitch shot from the kind of left side up on the hill. So they got a great vantage point, and they were just losing it, because this ball goes up and just straight to the bottom of the cup for eagle. So that was a huge rush and a huge highlight for us. What blows my mind is that it did not end up being a skin. I don't really know how that is possible, unless the team with the girl that hits high nasty bombs ended up, I mean, shoot, they probably had a buck 40 into this par 5, so they more than likely eagled it, would be my guess. But it was not an easy hole location, and it's just one of those things where it's like, you got a guy who slam dunks one from 60 yards out for eagle, you want that to be a skin. There's a huge skin purse, it was like $1,300 or something like that, so it's like, we want a piece of that action. But it didn't end up being the case for us. But still, awesome highlight. I was super pumped for my buddy. He had just yanked that wedge out of his dad's golf bag, which had been in storage for who knows how long. It was an old Vokey wedge. But looks like it's got some magic left in it. So he's going to keep that one in his bag for the foreseeable future for sure. And even if it didn't amount to anything other than an exciting highlight for us, it's just a cool memory to make. So after that eagle and breaking our par streak, we're at 6 under now, heading to 17. And 17 is, it's a tough hole, it's long, it's straight. We ended up taking my shot, fairway is super wide, but 438, I bombed one out there. The tough part of this one comes with the, you guessed it, the green complex. You're going up the hill to a green that runs front left to back right, guarded by a greenside bunker there on the right side, and they shoved this pin all the way in the back. Again, right off the stupid slope coming off the bunker. So another dirty hole location. We left ourselves probably 20 feet. And this is a green too, going front to back. You're coming up a couple of rises, a couple of shelves. So just very difficult. And we ended up, like I said, about pin high, probably 25, 30 feet with a putt that the more break you played, the more it was going to break, if that makes sense. Which, so you could play this one a little tighter to the hole and try to get lucky and it try and take some of the break out of it, but you had to hit it harder. Or you could play it further out and kind of hit it more into the hill, but then it's going to snap more at the end. And so we almost made it, which was super exciting. It would have been a killer birdie, but two putter for par there. And then going to 18. 18 is a cool finishing hole. I love this hole. It's only 350 yards from the back tee box, and it's a dogleg right. So for me, it just opens up the possibilities. There's fairway bunkers out there. There is some fescue out there, but you can aim. There's a big tree that I like to aim at because I'm going to fly it over that tree every time. If it fades, it's fine. If it draws, it's fine. And it's just a fun finishing hole. It's one that you feel like you can go to 18, you can make birdie, and you can end your round on a high note. And they put this pin for us middle right side, probably one of the flattest greens on the golf course, very narrow, kind of right to left, but very deep front to back. So again, pay attention to that, get your yardage right. We had 90 yards maybe or so, and unfortunately none of us could flip one in there as close as we should have. I think we took our, my buddy had a birdie putt from like 18 feet, 15, 18 feet. So nothing great, but just, I don't know, just a little bit of a breaker, something that you want to aim a little outside right. And we gave it our best shot, tried to end on a high note. After watching these two guys, my partner's putt, and theirs kind of snapped off left, I took a little higher line, but my ball just, for the first time probably all day, caught some pretty significant imperfections and just bounced a ton and just took away the chance of that going in. So we ended up shooting 33 on both sides for 66 for the day. We weren't in contention. I think the guys that won shot like 10 under or something like that, and so we were kind of riding the wave in the hunt for a while, but just too many par streaks. We'd get momentum with a really exciting birdie or holing out for eagle, stuff like that. I mean, we had cool things that happened over the course of the round. We played really well, just didn't get the putts to drop, didn't have an opportunity to really build momentum in this instance. But Thornapple Point, I mean, mad props to you guys for having just an awesome golf course. Super fun golf course, just great condition. And it's one of those, like I said, I don't play there often enough. I got to get out there more. I've got a good group of guys that I play with. And one of my buddies, this was his first time playing this golf course, and he loved it. So that was cool for a guy to go out there on his first time and end of the season, have such good conditions. And it's one of those where you go out, you play, you have a good time, and you just want to come back. And that's what golf's all about, getting out there, having a good time, enjoying the company of good friends. And our playing competitors were a blast. Love playing with those guys. They were a ton of fun. And so all around good day. Unfortunately, didn't take home any cash, which, yeah, there's always next time. But if you haven't played Thornapple Point, jump on their website, check it out. We're at the super tail end of the season. I'm sure they're going to be open for another couple of weeks. They've got another event coming up on, I think, November 8th, a two-person event they call the Ryber Cup. You're going to play six holes, alternate shot, six holes of best ball, six holes of scramble. I'm keeping my eye on the weather. I might try to get out there and play in it if I can find a buddy to join up and maybe try and brave the elements with me. But we'll see. It's on my radar. But otherwise, if we get a decent day, go check out the Thornapple Point. And if we don't, wait till next year. There's always 2021. So again, just kind of want to give you guys a quick overview of Thornapple. I don't really know where I'm going to go next as far as course reviews go. I am going to try and get out and play Harbor Shores down in Benton Harbor next week. We've got a nice stretch of weather midweek, so I'm going to try and sneak in one more round after daylight savings time. But we're running out of daylight, guys, so get out, play golf while you can. If you're one of the diehards like me that tries to stretch the season out as long as possible, throw on some layers, get a cart cover, a propane heater, whatever you need to do. Go out, enjoy the game, play golf. Fall golf is a ton of fun here in West Michigan, especially when the grass stops growing and the greens start to really run pretty smooth and true. So other than that, enjoy the rest of the week. Enjoy the weekend. I'm not sure what's in store for me, but we'll be back with you guys next Tuesday for whatever comes to mind. But until then, thanks for joining the Michigan Golf Podcast, and until next time, guys.